Radio Daily for Halfway Day through another week, and this time there's nothing as cool as Free Comic Book Day, which I had to work through this past weekend, so shame. If you got any extras, hey, I'm here. I'd love to read them. It's what I do.
Oh, I forgot.
It's because it's my own fault. Because I had to work, I don't think I mentioned it because it just bummed me out that I wasn't going to be able to... That's right. I kept information from others because it personally made me feel bad. Yay! I'm a celebrity person. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the 17th of August. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks bringing to you today, the man that knows how to keep himself calm and centered. There's podcasting Rick Siegfried.
Serenity now. Serenity now.
That's what's going to do it. And me, what am I doing with my 2 days off in a row? Well, you figure it out. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
You're going to have to pry this guitar. Damn it. Pry it.
Only way it works. What happened, Joe?
Oh, man. And I thought I missed it back in May. I'm glad they shifted it because of the pandemic. In 1856, the U.S. Copyright Act is extended to include dramatic works.
Mickey Mouse is dramatic. 1868, French astronomer Pierre-Jules César Janssen discovers helium in the solar spectrum during an eclipse. It marks the first discovery of an extraterrestrial element since helium had not been discovered on Earth.
1877, Asaph Hall discovers the Martian moon Phobos.
1903, German engineer Carl Jatho allegedly flies a motorized gliding airplane 4 months before the Wright brothers make their first flight. The plane, equipped with a single-cylinder 10-horsepower Boucher engine and a two-blade pusher propeller, allegedly made several short flights over a distance of 60 meters at altitudes of up to 3 meters. Do the math, Americans.
1932, the Scottish aviator Jim Mollison makes the first westbound transatlantic solo flight.
1947, 9 years after selling their first oscillators out of a garage in Palo Alto, California, William Hewlett and David Packard incorporate Hewlett-Packard Company, HP if you're nasty.
1949, the first filmed recording of CBS color television is made in Washington, D.C. using a U.S. Navy-designed Burnt Maurer camera.
Same day, same year, Henry Bossenberg of New Jersey is granted the first horticultural patent for a climbing rose.
1951, the first transcontinental wireless phone call is made from San Francisco by Mark Sullivan, president of PT&T, to H.T. Killingworth of AT&T in New York City.
1956, the Alexander Graham Bell Museum opens in Baddock, Nova Scotia.
1960, Collins Radio, a manufacturer of aviation and information systems, successfully transmit a photography via satellite from its headquarters in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Same day, same year, the Discovery XIV becomes the first satellite to be ejected from an orbiting space vehicle and will later become the first satellite to be recovered in midair. The next day, it'll also become the first successful operational image surveillance satellite used for photo reconnaissance of key military Soviet targets.
1968, the very first official Gen Con is held at the Horticultural Hall in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
1976, the Soviet Union's Luna 24, or Lunik 24, space probe soft lands on the moon in the Sea of Crisis. It's the last of the Luna series and the third to collect lunar samples.
1982, Atari announces that it has obtained exclusive global rights to market video games based on the movie E.T. the Extraterrestrial. The company's first attempt to develop an E.T. game will be remembered as one of the biggest debacles in video game history.
Just imagine what Intellivision could have done with it. 1993, Atari first announces the Jaguar 64-bit video game system at a press conference held at the company's headquarters in Sunnyvale, California, including a newly remastered E.T.
1995, New Line Cinema releases the fantasy film Mortal Kombat, directed by Paul W.S. Anderson, and starring Christopher Lambert, Robin Shu, Lyndon Ashby, Kerry Hiroki Tagawa, Bridget Wilson, and Talisa Soto.
It's still a stupid fun time. 2003, Adobe first releases the newly purchased Cool Edit Pro 2.0 as Adobe Audition after purchasing it from Centrillium Software in May of 2003. Ha, ha, ha. I still use Cool Edit 2.
2005, NASA decides to push the launch date of the next shuttle mission to March 2006 and reassign it from Atlantis to Discovery. The purpose of the mission is to test new safety and repair techniques and to deliver equipment and European Space Agency astronaut Thomas Reiter from Germany to the ISS.
Same day, same year, Upper Deck Entertainment announces the World of Warcraft trading card game based on Blizzard Entertainment's Morpig World of Warcraft. In the card game, each player uses a hero card in a deck consisting of allies and other supporting characters. In booster and starter packs, gamers can find cards representing weapons, abilities, armor, items, and quests. You know, like every other card game.
2006, the fantasy film The Illusionist, directed by Neil Berger and starring Edward Norton, Paul Giamatti, Jessica Biel, Rufus Sewell, Eddie Marson, and Eleanor Tomlinson is released.
2008, Dell's attempt to trademark the term cloud computing is refused.
2010, Facebook unveils a location-sharing places platform that that will allow users to announce their location to not only their friends, but anybody who they sell their data to.
2020, 75% of captured subjects from the faked bioterrorist attack experiment are dead thanks to a virus they have been given. Remember.
And 2154, the military is defeated by the Na'vi, and Colonel Miles Quaritch is shot by Neytiri's arrows.
Which is not a euphemism.
Isn't it, though?
Birthdays?
Andy Samberg is 43 from the Lonely Island SNL Hot Rod Brooklyn 99. But I, of course, remember him fondly from The Boo.
Caitlin Olsen is 46. That's D and It's Always Sunny. The Mick, Finding Dory, and Flipped. Remember when Quibi was a thing?
She looks like a bird. Malcolm Jamal Warner is 51. Theo on The Cosby Show. Malcolm and Eddie. Jeremiah. Community. American Crime Story and The Resident.
Christian Slater is 52 from Heather's. Fern Gully. Breaking In. Mr. Robot.
What? No cuffs? Edward Norton is also 52 from Primal Fear, People vs. Larry Flint, and The Incredible Hulk.
Brian Michael Bendis is 54, writer of Ultimate Spider-Man, House of M, Secret Invasion.
Jim Florentine is 57, special ed on Crank Yankers.
Craig Bierko is 57 from The Long Kiss Goodnight, Fear and Loathing, 13th Floor, Boston Legal.
He's a very good comedian as well. Glenn Plummer is 60 from Menace to Society, Showgirls, and The Day After Tomorrow.
Martin Mull is 78, Fernwood Tonight, Clue, Roseanne, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, The Cool Kids, which isn't around anymore.
Born this day, no longer with us, in 1834, Marshall Field, an American businessman, and founded Marshall Fields.
1920, Shelley Winters from The Poseidon Adventure, Lolita, Peach Dragon.
What, no Popeye? Oh, fair enough. 1926, John P. Finnegan, Warren T. Ratt in American Tail, and JFK.
1935, Gail Fisher, Mannix, and the first black woman to win a Golden Globe Award.
1925, Patrick Swayze, Red Dawn, Roadhouse, Ghost, Point Break, Donnie Darko, a fantastic sketch starring Chris Farley on SNL.
Which should be on TV anytime you want to see that.
No kidding. I have the dance in Fortnite. On CBS, we've got a new Big Brother, House Call with Dr. Phil, and the FBI Declassified.
ABC, it's a new Pressure Luck, the $100,000 Pyramid, and Kobe Bryant, Superstar.
Does he sniff his hands after he puts them in his
own? Absolutely.
On NBC, quarterfinals results, too, on a new America's Got Talent. The Strutner family versus the Carapino family on a new family game fight.
If only I knew who they were. Fox Legends, cook for your legend on a new MasterChef and then beat Shazam.
CW Hiram shares his origin story with Reggie, discussing how he went from a young Jamie Luna to the powerful kingpin of Riverdale. And Reggie reflects on his relationship with his father, rolling over the ups and downs over the years on the new Riverdale and a new In the Dark.
Freeform, as Tommy's trial begins, Callie sees Jamie in a new light. After running into some old colleagues, Mariana wonders if she can ever make amends, and Malika must learn to establish boundaries as Alice and Ruby's relationship is revealed on a new Good Trouble.
AMC, put the bonnet down on a new Con Air.
FX, really, guys? Really? Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. You went a bit too weird for me there.
FXX, The Secret Life of Pets 2.
FXM, The Predator, not just anyone.
Paramount, both Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I'm so glad they've worked it out and are starting some jobs together again. Ziffy has X-Men, How It All Began.
TNT has Need for Speed.
The Science Channel has the Kansas City Skywalk on disaster engineering, which just sounds creepy. But we're watching the Hallmark Channel tonight because a woman operates a boot camp for people who are brokenhearted. And after a new client, who is a reporter, arrives to investigate whether her boot camp's the real deal, she finds herself forming a connection with this person. Italia Ricci and Ryan Peavy star in Don't Go Breaking My Heart. How is there not a boot camp pun there?
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update.
It looks like the whole family has gone to pot. Count them. Three generations token up together. Son Roman likes to get mellow and hang out with the grown-ups. Father Chad gets high to escape from the less fun parts of parenthood. And Grandpa Stefano just likes to light up and slip into paradise. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
Well, no, not today, because everyone is so stupefied and crazed and can't figure out what in the world it is Mark is doing with his craziness.
Mark, of course, almost told us yesterday, but we did not let that happen. But if you think you know what's happening or what's going to happen, or if you'd like to volunteer to possibly write some Chad and Abby stuff yourself, by all means, let us know. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or, of course, a voicemail or text message. Just use the magic numbers.
510-GRD-CROW.
Or come tell us tonight when Mark does his stream and plays Jackbox.
Yeah. A wanderer of the first people. A healer on the run from his church. An honor-bound veteran of the wars. A young woman struggling with her arcane power. A blade-bound orphan from the streets, whose legacy is the heart of the hunter. A fantasy audiobook set in the shared world of Kor and I. From the co-creator of Changeling the Dreaming and Wraith the Oblivion, available for free at bit.do/hearthunter.
Hi, this is Sherilyn Fenn, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
You know, she could just tell you anything. It just sounds that freaking good. This is how that works. So, hey, welcome back to it. Let's see what's going down.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Oh, what's waiting for us in the hold boxes, sir?
From Detective Comics, we've got Catwoman number 34, Shazam 2 of 4, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow 3 of 8, and Clown Hunter's brutal mission to hunt down all the clowns from the Joker War continues. The untrained but focused vigilante stalks a boss-level clown, but his luck might be running out as he walks into an ambush set by Punchline. In a horrific parallel to his days at Gotham Academy, Clown Hunter finds himself overwhelmed and outgunned. Just the type of odds he likes in Batman Secret Files, Clown Hunter number 1.
Over at Marvel, Marauders number 23, Moon Knight 2, Sinister Wars 3 of 4, and the man called King the Conqueror has been a pharaoh, a villain, a warlord of the spaceways, and even on rare occasions, a hero. Across all timelines, one fact seemed absolute. Time means nothing to King the Conqueror, but the truth is far more complex. He's caught in an endless cycle of creation and destruction dictated by time and previously unseen by any but the Conqueror himself, or folks that watch Loki. A cycle that could finally explain the enigma that is Kang, and a cycle that begins and ends with an old and broken Kang sending his young self down a dark path in Kang the Conqueror, one of five, and they just gave us the ending.
From Dark Horse Comics, we've got Black Hammer Visions, 7 of 8, Killer Queens, number 1 of 4, Tales from Harrow County Fair Folk, 2 of 4. From Boom Studios, we've got Firefly, Brand New Verse, wrapping up at 6, Power Rangers, number 10, Save Yourself, 3 of 4, and One Unspeakable Horror Eats Away at the Heart of Crestfall Bluffs. With law school and her whole life ahead of her, Joey plans to summer with a boyfriend in his seemingly perfect hometown of Crestfall Bluffs. It's a chance to finally meet Aster's family and childhood friends, all while enjoying a vacation with every need attended to by servants. But beneath the affluent perfection lies a dark, deadly rot. Will Joey discover the truth before it's too late? And if she does, can she survive to tell the tale in Eat the Rich, 1 of 5?
That also gave away the ending. IDW Publishing, Bermuda, 2 of 4. Godzilla Monsters and Protectors wraps up its 5. Transformers, 34. Image Comics, Homesick Pilots, number 8. Jupiter's Legacy Requiem, 3 of 12. You know, the show's canceled. Man-Eaters, The Cursed, number 2 of 5. And Second Chances Hotline. Call now and get a new identity. All you need is some cash, a proper referral, and a very good reason to start over. When LeBlanc, the man behind the hotline, is approached by a shady figure from his past, he's forced to accept a new client who doesn't meet any of those requirements. A client with chemically induced amnesia and desperate needs of protection. And Second Chances, number 1.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Vampires, it seems, are only the beginning, as AMC has announced that an adaptation of Anne Rice's beloved novel, Interview with a Vampire, is going to be joined by a Mayfair Witches series based on Rice's Lives of the Mayfair Witches book trilogy.
I really wanted the Cinemax take on Sleeping Beauty.
Although the books, which came out in the early 90s, were all bestsellers upon publication, they're not nearly as well known as the Interview with the Vampire, Vampire Chronicles series that kicked everything off. Mayfair Witches seems quite complicated, but here's the basics. It's set in New Orleans, it's a Rice book, and when a doctor named Rowan Mayfair discovers she's the latest in a long line of family powerful witches, and it's not as tidy as that, though, because there's also multi-generational drama, a secret society poking about, and a mysterious evil entity named Lasher that has haunted the family for centuries in hopes of regaining a corporal body.
Well, how else can you be a priest?
Fair point. The immediate question is, how the hell can this be on TV? The books are filled with sexual violence, taboo breaking, and other pretty upsetting things. And just omitting the presumed nudity that would exist is not going to make these scenes any more easier. I mean, they're very problematic at its core, especially in terms of their sheer volume. The network must have some idea of how to adapt this show.
Animated? Porn? A podcast.
Characters from the Mayfair Witches novels make appearances in three books in the Vampire Chronicles series, meaning if all goes well, the two could have a crossover. In total, AMC has the live-action adaptation rights to 18 of Anne Rice's novels, so chances are Interview and Mayfair are only the beginning of a connected universe, which is sure to make AMC a ton of Rice-a-money.
Hotel Transylvania. Transformania. The fourth and final feature in the animated family feature franchise will bypass a theatrical run and is now looking to stream on Amazon Prime.
Prime? That's where my freaking homie's at!
The deal is reportedly still in the early stages, so no release date is planned yet, but it could ultimately be valued at around $100 million. The movie was originally set to hit cinemas in October.
But since everything's going to be shut down again, or, in mummy speak, under wraps...
Genndy Tartakovsky, who directed the three prior films and co-wrote the third, is returning as a screenwriter on this fourth installment with Jennifer Kluska and Derek Drymon taking over.
Well, that solves that monster problem.
Additional voice casts include Andy Samberg, Selena Gomez, Catherine Hahn, Steve Buscemi, David Spade, Keegan-Michael Key, Asher Blinkoff, Brad Abrell, Fran Drescher, Molly Shannon, Jim Gaffigan as Professor Abraham von Helsing, and in a massive shakeup, Brian Hull will replace Adam Sandler in the role of Dracula. But we knew that when he was asked if he wanted to return for the fourth one, and he simply said,
Cyberpunk 2077's next big patch, 1.3, which still doesn't really have a release date yet, that's fine. But we know a little bit more about what all it's going to include. The additions offer improved mini-map directions and a perk reset option, and will fix the game's infamous brothel scene where players keep accidentally picking the wrong person to sleep with.
Hey, the heart wants what the heart wants, man.
Approximately one-third of the preliminary notes for the long-awaited, much-anticipated 1.3 patch are dedicated to a small fix for Clouds, that's the VIP dollhouse, that players visit early on in the game in order to find more information about the missing quest giver, Evelyn Parker. And during that mission, you're set up with a private room where you can meet with either a male or female sex worker. Due to some weird UI design, players often accidentally choose the wrong one.
You chose what worked for you, right? I mean, look. You just may need to have a little talk with yourself.
In the current version of the game, Sky, the female option is presented on first and on the left, while Angel, the male option, is shown second and on the right. The names are only shown for a split second and then disappear, but the dialogue prompt then lists Angel first, a move which confused enough people that it was a topic of discussion on the Cyberpunk 2077 subreddit when the game came out last December. The most difficult choice in the game, reads one post with 30,000 upvotes. More notably, some men playing the game started freaking out, leading to a funny headline like, men are having a very normal one about accidentally boning guys in Cyberpunk 2077.
Especially since they couldn't blame it on two beers. This time.
The funny part is that while the scenes in question are full of sexual tension, neither one involves any physical sex. Whether you choose Sky or Angel, both simply talk with you and listen as you just dump your emotional baggage and existential dread on them.
Wait, I thought you said that it didn't involve sex.
So congrats, you will not accidentally be having gay sex anymore, though you might accidentally choose to do so 13 or 14 more times.
Speaking of verifying your various encounters, Tinder will start rolling out with an ID verification feature in its popular hookup app.
Oh, so that's why those people never look like their profile pic, I've been told.
ID verification relies on a government-issued piece of paper, like a passport or driver's license for proof of identity.
Or gun license in Texas.
The feature has been in use on Tinder in Japan since 2019, and it's now rolling out globally, though it's not yet a requirement for using the platform.
Verify my ID? But my freedoms!
Think of it as the ultimate way to be maskless. ID verification will be voluntary at first, except for where law requires. Then, Tinder will take a test-and-learn approach to ensure that its ID verification process contributes to an equitable, inclusive, and privacy-friendly app. We hope all of our members worldwide will see the benefits of interacting with people who have gone through our ID verification process, says Rory Cozell, Tinder's head of trust and safety product, in the official press release. We look forward to a day when as many people as possible are verified on Tinder.
Grindr's verification process requires a different type of pick to make sure that you measure up. But I think it's just getting past the dollhouse level in Cyberpunk 2077.
Tinder emphasizes the focus on safety, adding that it's aware that requiring identification might be an issue for those who don't immediately want to reveal themselves online. It's really before putting their body parts against somebody else's body parts. Like, I'm pretty sure you'd want to know who that. Anyway, we know that in many parts of the world and within traditionally marginalized communities, people might have compelling reasons that they can't or don't want to share their real-world identity with an online platform, said Tracy Breeden, VP of Safety and Social Advocacy at Match Group at Tinder. Because, after all, the last thing you want is openness and honesty. What the hell is this? eHarmony?
And in what seems like a mess of bourbon and beans, three parties are fighting to be the conservator for Nichelle Nichols, star of Star Trek, who is said to be in poor health and in dire straits financially.
But still does a pretty mean fan dance.
Right? Kyle Johnson, Nichols' son, became her conservator in 2018, but her former manager, Gilbert Bell, sued to have Johnson evicted from a guest home at her property in Woodland Hills, California. Johnson countersued, saying in court documents that Bell exerted his undue influence and took control over Ms. Nichols' assets and personal affairs. Nichols' friend Angelique Fawcett opposed Johnson's petition to become Nichols' conservator and is suing for visitation rights as Johnson moved Nichols to New Mexico.
Even though she wanted to move beyond Antares.
Nichols became a cultural icon for her role as Lieutenant Nyota Uhura in the original Star Trek series, the animated series, six theatrical movies with the original TV show cast. Bell came into her life in 2009, says he boosted her income by increasing her personal appearances at conventions and autograph signings. Johnson disputes Bell's success in that regard and contests his handling of her finances. Johnson filed for conservatorship after Bell became increasingly entwined in her life, including gaining her power of attorney and at one point suggesting that they should marry to cement a business partnership.
He saw himself as like the sun in the sky, the son of God.
Nichols' health has declined over the years, partially from dementia, drinking, memory loss, and she suffered a minor stroke in 2015. However, the degree to which Nichols can make decisions on her home behalf is disputed by Bell, Johnson, and Fawcett. Nichols' home and guest house in Woodland Hills were sold last week. Now look, we all hope someone who has her actual best interest in heart takes this thing over. And look, folks, if you need volunteers, hailing frequencies are open. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com.
You know, the sad thing is we keep hearing about this with famous people because we had the same thing with
Stanley.
With Stan Lee, right? And a few other people, and I think even some other people. But the thing is, this is just what we're hearing about from famous people. How much does it happen in real life? Never mind the fact that my aunt kidnapped my biological grandparents and moved them to Argentina. Well, they were from Germany.
Oh, okay. Well, as soon as we free Brittany, we'll see if we can get right there on that. Drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, a voicemail, text, message. Use the numbers.
510-GRD-CREW.
Dick Clark. That's who I was trying to think of.
Good night, suckers.
Damage averted. All systems operative.
I cannot help you if you are lying in every session.
Lying? Why would I be lying? What are you talking about? Where are you getting this?
Were you or were you not the first choice for the female lead in The Notebook?
Yes. Yes, I was, and I had to unfortunately pass because of a scheduling conflict. We went over this. I graciously handed it to Rachel McAdams, and she did a fine job with the film. I'm secure enough to admit that.
I'm finding all this hard to believe.
Oh, what do you want to hear, Doc, huh? That I had cigarettes put out on me when I was a kid? That this isn't a surgery scar, huh? That my father stabbed me?
Let me interrupt you for a second, okay? Because I think we have an example happening right before our eyes. You're speaking right now with a Brooklyn accent,
it's
and
Boston.
Yet you're not...
It was a Boston accent.
The accent was clearly from Brooklyn.
This isn't a surgery, ska.
No, you didn't say ska. That's clearly
Brooklyn. Yes, I did.
No. Okay, the point is...
It's really good,
Dee, I just met your father, and I think that little bit was from Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, he's not my father. That's a whole can of worms. I don't want to go into it, but it was from Good Will Hunting. How did you enjoy it?
I'd rather discuss the father issue.
You know what? She really wasn't that great, now that I think about it.
Who?
Rachel McAdams. I feel like I could have done a better job. Do you think that I would have done a better job without Ryan Gosling?